Right, good day and welcome to yet another edition of the Citizen Talk. This is a platform where we invite different guests to come and unpack some of the most difficult issues or subjects or even challenges that, you know, the country is facing. And we thought let's this week, you know, focus mostly on the weather, because that's been the major, major talking point over the last 2 weeks. We've experienced so much rainfall, heavy downpours in various parts of the country. We, you know, saw also the Department of Water and Sanitation also being forced to open up, 12 sluice gates at the Vaal Dam. No, that's it just goes to show you how, you know, how much rainfall we experienced in the country. But we thought let's invite also, you know, a long-term forecaster, the South African Weather Service, Dr. Christine Engelbrecht, to come and help us, you know, unpack some of the most difficult terms that one gets to hear on a day-to-day basis. Like, for instance, there's a new tropical, well, not new, but a tropical cyclone called Freddy, you know, which made the landfall in Madagascar. We'll talk more about that as we, you know, continue with the show. But for now, let's welcome Dr. Christine Engelbrecht from the South African Weather Service. Doc, good morning, and thank you so much once again for gracing us with your presence.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to come and visit you here.
Thank you so much, Doc. I mean, the last time you and I spoke, we, you know, spoke about South Africans having to expect, you know, above normal rainfall, at least up until, you know, the coming autumn season. And wow, we experienced a lot of rain over the last 2 weeks. And talking about, you know, those heavy downpours, Doc, I remember, and you'll correct me, the first round of that heavy downpours was as a result of a cut of low pressure system. And the second round, which now recently concluded, causing a lot of flooding, was as a result of a tropical low pressure system, which was sitting in our neighboring Botswana.
That's totally correct, Stephen.
Wow.
Yes. This is now for the month of February.
Yes.
Yeah, so around about at the start of the second week of the month of February this year, the cut of low developed. Mm-hmm. And it indeed was quite stationary,
yeah,
meaning it was not moving fast out of the country.
Mm.
So usually when that happens with the weather system, it means that it can rain for a prolonged period of time over an area.
Yeah.
So that really contributes then to the rainfall that impacts over a certain area.
Mm.
And a cut of low system is a kind of a weather system that is one of our most serious rainfall producing weather systems.
Mm.
So this one was quite stationary. And also the cut of low system didn't act alone. Mm. Further to the north of the system, actually also over our neighboring countries.
Yeah.
Before the tropical system moved in over the area that contributed to the second bout of rainfall,
yeah,
that tropical moisture that was anyway present to the north,
mm,
of the Southern African region was flowing southwards towards the cut of low system. And that really contributed to the enhanced rainfall that was produced by the cut of low weather system.
Wow. And I mean, that moment or that situation where a system stays, you know, in place for a prolonged, you know, sort of time, there's a term that you normally use. It's called quasi, right? Quasi state or something of that nature.
Just call it stationary.
A stationary,
yeah.
That's okay.
And quasi is just meaning that it's more or less stationary. It's,
mm-hmm,
it's never really that it's sitting exactly,
yeah,
the same area.
Yeah.
But the typical movement of weather systems, such as cut of low,
mm,
weather systems, is usually from the west to the east.
Yeah.
Over the country. The opposite is true for the tropical systems.
Mm-hmm.
They usually come, especially the easterly wave systems,
mm,
and the systems such as Freddy,
mm-hmm,
moves in a westerly direction.
Yeah.
So meaning from the east to the west.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Now, You touched on the cut of low pressure system, and obviously that was followed by that tropical low pressure system, which made landfall in Botswana. How did that affect us?
The tropical system didn't make landfall. It developed over
land.
That's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There are different kinds of tropical kind of weather systems.
Yeah.
This second system of the month of February, the second really rain-producing weather system, mm-hmm. tropical low, as you have mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Developed over the continent
mm-hmm.
And stayed there for quite a few days.
Yeah.
I think it was active from the around about Valentine's Day
mm-hmm.
up to about the 19th of February.
Wow.
So, and then the cloud bands that also spirals from that system moved in over, especially the northeastern parts of South Africa,
mm-hmm.
where it really contributed to large amounts of rainfall that has fallen. I can maybe give you some rainfall figures.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
So just, the rainfall figures that I will mention now is a combination of some of the cut of low rainfall as well as the tropical rainfall. It's the 10-day rainfall totals from the 11th up till the 21st of February,
mm-hmm.
measured up till 8 o'clock on the 21st of February.
Mm-hmm.
So for the Gauteng area, Johannesburg had 108 millimeters.
Sure.
Yeah, Pretoria 81 millimeters.
Mm.
So then over Mpumalanga, Barberton had 215 millimeters over that 10-day period.
Wow.
And the Kruger International Airport, 126 millimeters.
Mm.
But that actually looks like a picnic according to the rainfall that was measured over some areas of Limpopo.
Oh.
Tzaneen had 355 millimeters recorded during that 10-day period.
300, wow.
And 55. In Venda, a weather station there had 325 millimeters, and Toyando 242 millimeters.
Sure.
So, towards the another province that was really, or actually two provinces that was really struck by really large amounts of rainfall during that 10-day period, as of course KwaZulu-Natal, Charters Creek had 306 millimeters of rain.
Mm.
Richards Bay, 239 millimeters.
Mm.
And then for various other stations over the KwaZulu-Natal province had rainfall in excess of 100 millimeters during that period. Mm. Over the Eastern Cape, and I remember last time we've spoken, we zoomed into the Eastern Cape a bit, how such a diverse province that it is, also in terms of climate zones, and also how it's affected by the rainfall systems. So, I mean, one can't believe that places like the Kuga Dam catchment is still suffering with a dissipating rainfall.
And
It did rain there over the last few days, but like in the order of 30 millimeters. But the dam is like below 13% of its full capacity.
Mm.
But during that time when things like that happen, over, let's say, the southwestern part of the Eastern Cape, Coffee Bay had 415 millimeters of rainfall over the last 2 days. Or that from the 11th up to the 21st of February.
Yeah.
So that really stood out. Bishu was the weather the weather station at Bishu at the second highest rainfall with 85 millimeters of rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then places like Northwest had also very decent rainfall figures, 89 millimeters at Mafeking, was the highest in the province for that 10-day period. For the Free State, the highest was recorded at Warden with 81 millimeters. And then the Northern Cape, it's a large province, but some places there received good rainfall. Over the central or a place that I guess is not that very familiar, but it's more or less over the central part of the country, but over the Northern Cape province is Noupoort at 81 millimeters of rainfall and Kimberley 41 millimeters.
Wow.
The rest of the stations there had less rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there was the third system.
And before we get to the third system, Doc, Vereniging, just in Gauteng, the southern parts of Gauteng, I believe also they received quite a lot of rainfall there.
Yes, Vereniging usually receives more rainfall than the northern part
of
the province. Mm-hmm. And as the kind of rainfall producing or during the system like the tropical low, as I mentioned, the cloud bands that moves in over the northeastern part of the country. So within those cloud bands, one gets embedded thunderstorms.
Mm.
So in some areas, one can really get extreme heavy downpours within that cloud bands from individual thunderstorm cells.
Yeah.
So that is usually where when there's really quite an extreme impact on the ground experienced by the rain is usually due to so those kind of thunderstorm cells that is embedded within the larger scale rain-producing cloud band.
Mm-hmm. Wow, interesting. Yeah, and moving along as you are about to the other point that you wanted to make, Doc.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The third system. Yeah, so very interesting. While the tropical low was still active over the northeastern part of the country, an approaching cold front actually started to move towards the country.
Mm.
So this week started off with rain, quite a good distribution of rain over the southwestern part of the country.
Yeah.
With that cold front. So we had also decent rainfall figures, especially for this time of year, over those areas. A place like Kirstenbosch had 36 millimeters of rain.
Wow.
With a cold front that made landfall there. And then also as it moved further eastwards, places, Swellendam, 47 millimeters, Mossel Bay, 38 millimeters.
Mm.
So that was also quite a good system that brought rainfall to our winter rainfall
areas. Okay. No, interesting times. Now, still on the heavy rainfall that we've been experiencing, Doc, people now are also hearing about this name Freddy, you know, tropical storm, and people are worried, you know, as to what are the chances of that system reaching us, and if it reaches us, what impact would that have on us?
Yes, Stephen. The tropical cyclone, Freddy was made landfall over Madagascar yesterday.
Yeah.
So the expected track of the system, and I must mention now that if one look at the evolution of the system, or the history of the system, I must maybe rather say, it followed quite a westerly track over the southern Indian Ocean.
Mm.
It actually started, I think, on the 5th of February, when it was still, as we call it, within the tropical cyclone basin of the of Australia.
Mm.
So the name Freddy was given by the weather office in Australia, called the Bureau of Meteorology. So then the system moved in a westerly direction since the 5th of February in over the tropical cyclone basin, the Southwest Indian Ocean tropical cyclone basin, which is the basin of wind systems can affect the southern African region. So, quite a westward track the whole time. But when it reached the Madagascar area, it seems like it's moving in a west-southwesterly direction at about, I think, 22 kilometers per hour. So the predicted track is for it to continue in that direction and to make landfall over to the south of Beira, more or less 200 kilometers south of Beira. So when we look at the prediction of a tropical cyclone, it is a weather system that is very difficult to predict actually to exactly where it is actually going to enter the land and then the path that it's going to follow. Something that we do know is that when systems like that moves over an area of land is that it usually weakens. So it weakens a bit, for example, when it moved over Madagascar, but then one can expect an intensification when it is again over water areas in the Mozambique Channel. And then it should weaken again.
When it lands.
When it, yes. Mm. But it is still a very disastrous system in terms of the amounts of rainfall that it brings. Even though it's weakening, it can really still be, the impact caused by it can be...
Devastating.
Devastating, yes.
Wow.
So the best way to look at the prediction of such a system is to look at, as we call it, as meteorologists, an ensemble of predictions. So, which give one a range of potential paths that it can follow.
Mm.
So at this stage, it looks like that the extreme northeastern parts of South Africa is part of such an path, of potential paths that which will then be ex-tropical cyclone.
Yeah.
Freddy, when it's over the land, can move towards. So I mean, today is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it is expected to if that path materialize or realize, that is expected to happen over the weekend.
Mm.
So it means we have a few days to really monitor the system.
Yeah.
And to take the necessary precautions.
Mm. And when we talk, obviously, about the northeastern parts of the country, you just, you know, for the benefit of our listeners, which areas are we talking about in particular?
Okay, the areas that is usually very vulnerable is along the escarpment areas, where the highest amount of rainfall usually occurs when such a system moves in over the country. Saying that, the areas around it is also still in really impacted quite tremendously, but especially the regions along the escarpment.
Mm.
So if you now think, let's say, eastwards of Messina, those areas, but again, the potential path of the system as predicted by the various or different weather models differ quite a bit. So depending on exactly where it's going to be, a path further northwards will, for example, have a higher impact over the extreme northeastern parts. Let's say the northern parts of the Kruger Park area, to the east of Messina, those kind of areas.
Mm-hmm.
But the rain will still be over a wider area.
Yeah.
When it is, if it's going to follow a more southern path, then the southern parts of KwaZulu-Natal, even as far south as the northern parts of KZN, must then be really
on alert. Mm.
So it really depends on exactly what the system is going to do in the next few days.
Yeah, and as you said, obviously you're monitoring it quite closely, and as time goes, if there's anything, you know, that you spot, you obviously you'll be able to alert the nation.
Yes, Stephen, but a great concern is actually that if we look now at our whole season, over most of the country, the December, January, February season, already by the first, after the first bouts of rainfall of the month of February, already had an above normal rainfall season for the December, January, February period. So all the rain after, let's say, from the second week onwards of February is just adding up on that already above normal rainfall conditions.
Mm.
And I mean, and before the December, January, February period, the month of October, even November really had a good rainfall season.
Mm.
It's basically just the month of January where the northeastern parts of the country or the larger part of the northeastern parts of the country did not have above normal rainfall during that time when we had that heat wave event. I must say that the heat wave event was actually focused further to the western parts and the southern parts of the country, but during that same time, we didn't really have much rainfall over the northeastern parts of the country. But apart from that, we really had a season with frequent rainfall events.
Mm-hmm.
So the soil is moisture saturated. Mm. We know the situation of the fall dam. as you've mentioned
yeah.
at the start of this conversation. All the dams are at full capacity or mm-hmm. overflowing. So any more rainfall is really a potential hazard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're not even thinking in terms of rainfall of the kind of intensity of what can be brought by Freddy to the country.
Yeah.
So that can really be, that can really strain us in terms of handling all the rainfall.
Yeah. And talking about that, I mean, I also mentioned the Vaal Dam, as you correctly said earlier on, to say it's among the dams that are either full or overflowing and so forth. And now, one thing that really got me worried, and you and I, Doc, have had many conversations around, you know, the preparedness, you know, ahead of such, you know, freaky weather conditions, you know, preparedness in terms of government or from government side. For instance, the residents that we spoke to who live in and around the Vaal Dam said they were not even notified timeously or on time that 10 or 12 sluice gates would be opened at the Vaal Dam. And you look at also the timing of them now taking that decision to open those sluice gates. Already it was raining. Surely, I mean, we've been reporting about the weather, you know, for the longest times, and these warnings, especially, we've been warning residents about them, and I'm sure government has also been aware of those. Now, one would have thought before this last round of heavy falls, because we wrote stories, we reported about it, people should be aware of heavy downpours on the cards. One would have expected perhaps the officials or authorities would have rather than opened, you know, the sluice gates at the time, because already the dams were full. So I'm not sure what your view is around that.
My personal view around that, I mean, the fact that an above normal rainfall season was expected is not news. We were actually quite confident.
Yeah.
Many months ago.
Yeah.
So one can only speculate. I can only speculate why that happens.
And yeah.
I'm not going to speculate now. But I must say it is really concerning.
Yeah.
And it is really disappointing.
Yeah.
That the necessary precautions or maybe everyone knows the kind of precautions that needs to be taken, but to actively engage in it. I'm not sure why there is inertia in that. So, and I think that's maybe, especially now also with the potential extreme rainfall.
Yeah.
You know, that can be associated with Freddy, if it indeed moves close enough to us. To impact us in such a way. I mean, we have a few days now to do something.
Mm.
So the only thing that I can think of is that one must on an individual basis look out for yourself.
Yeah.
But the unfortunate fact is that not everyone can do that.
Mm.
So in such an instance, I think within a community where there are people that can assist or maybe can start the action.
Action, yes.
Yeah. Because I mean we can't always also when it comes to saving lives, there's a point of no return where we can't wait for government to do anything.
Yeah.
Where we must just act.
Act, yeah.
So that's my personal view.
No, absolutely. No, I take that. And still on Freddy, I mean, the possibility of, you know, him reaching us, you mentioned over the weekend, like, you know, places that could be affected, could be like your, you know, your escarpment areas and so forth. How close should Freddy actually get into our country to reach, let's say, large parts of our summer rainfall areas, Gauteng included?
It doesn't need even to move into South Africa itself. It can just be over the neighboring countries and still the cloud bands that spirals from that system. can really bring large amounts of rainfall.
Wow.
So, but again, depending on the exact position of Freddy itself, that is now the area with the lowest pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a few hundred kilometers from where that point of Freddy is, can be affected. So, and again, that is usually something, a kind of rainfall that lasts more than a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So again, prolonged rainfall for a few days, it can easily, rain, let's say, 3 days from such a
system
over the already saturated areas.
Yeah.
So
could lead to a lot of problems as well.
Yes. And the thing is, if we can go back now to the year 2000, when Eline, tropical cyclone Eline, caused that really disastrous floods over Mozambique.
Yeah,
it moved in over the Southern African region.
Mm.
It moved right across, and it actually exited the African continent. On the western side of the continent.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, by that time, it has already weakened to, let's say, a tropical depression and so on. But on the way, it still caused rainfall.
Mm.
So, and the thing that helps such a system to move in over a country or in over the Southern African subcontinent is usually an area of higher pressure further to the south of the country. And that is associated then with easterly winds.
Mm.
So that sustained easterly winds over, let's say, the eastern part of the South African area can also lead to rainfall.
Mm.
So that is a few hundred kilometers from where, let's say, Freddy is actually active.
Mm-hmm.
But then this secondary circulation pattern can really cause a continuous flow of easterly winds that bring in moisture that can also then affect and contribute to rainfall, not directly from Freddy, but over, let's say, our KwaZulu-Natal areas and the escarpment areas of Mpumalanga are areas that are then really areas that need to be on the alert.
Mm-hmm.
So again, but all depending on
where he is.
On the path.
Yes.
Every update of a forecast becomes very important now.
Sure.
So that is something that listeners can really try to do is really follow the updates from the South African Weather Service site. The necessary warnings will be issued as it comes closer
to us. Yeah.
So, but we all know already now something potential is on the way, so we must be proactive.
Yeah, instead of being reactive.
Yeah,
that's true. Now, Doc, another question that people are also asking is, this heavy rainfall that we've been experiencing has been also as a result of the La Nina weather system, and people want to know, is it strengthening or, has it weakened? What's the situation around that? And what's the prognosis for the remainder of the summer rainfall season?
Yeah. You're Stephen, we are now, what is today? The 22nd of
February. 22nd of Feb, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 22nd of February.
Yeah.
So we are actually now starting to approach the end of our summer season.
Yeah.
The La Nina is still in place, but it has weakened.
Mm-hmm.
And by autumn, we expect the ENSO neutral conditions to be in place again.
Mm-hmm.
So then this third consecutive summer that had a La Nina
will
be the active state of the El Nino Southern Oscillation. Is expected to be in a neutral condition by autumn.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the prognosis is actually at this stage, most of the forecasts for the state of ENSO towards our next summer is for the highest chance for an El Nino to form.
Mm.
So all this rain now As also, I think, mentioned in our previous conversation, you know, South Africa, a country of where climate is quite variable, and we are actually a country that, even though it doesn't feel for most of the areas right now, we are actually a region that qualifies as being arid. So we need to actually look very carefully after our water. So for those that can store the water, is a very good idea. With at this stage the prospect for an El Niño to be the active state of ENSA during our next summer. So we must really look careful after our water.
So we need to start preparing now. Ahead of the, you know, next summer season, which might seem to be still far, but you need to start planning now.
Now we must make the best use of our natural resources as possible. So when it rains, even though it is disastrous rainfall kind of conditions, we had quite frequently during the summer season. It sounds funny to say we must try and look after our water and store it where possible, but it is a fact. We must do that.
Absolutely. Wow. Interesting times. Folks, if you've just joined us, we are in conversation with a long-term forecaster at the South African Weather Service, Dr. Christine Engelbrecht, and we will soon be, concluding our discussion. Now, Doc, what else would you say people need to look out for in as far as, you know, this rainfall is concerned, and especially now that we are now fast approaching the end of, you know, the summer rainfall season? What should people be on the lookout for now?
Okay, that is quite a difficult question. I guess now in the short term, just as the summer rainfall season ends off, I mean, we still have our prediction is for a continued
above normal
rainfall prediction for the remainder of the summer season. So that is still our summer ends basically climatologically wise, we consider end of summer by end of March. So that is still 5-6 weeks
to go.
Of summer.
So
I think for the remainder of the summer, even if these really large rainfall producing systems cease now, any kind of rainfall is still potentially hazardous. If we think in terms of runoff. And so on.
Because of the ground being saturated already.
Yes, of the ground being saturated. Then of course. Something else to be on the lookout for. Our latest seasonal forecast will be issued in the next day or two. It's not formally submitted yet, but there are indications for our winter rainfall areas at this stage to have a below normal start to the winter rainfall. So that is also a bit concerning. Our previous winter also really didn't materialize in good rainfall the winter rainfall areas. So that is also something to really have in one's mind.
And especially when one looks at provinces like your Western Cape, not so long ago, they were also going through a serious drought, you know, issue before, you know, the Eastern Cape. Yes, we know the Eastern Cape receives their rainfall at any given time of the year. So they also in much need for heavy rain or good rainfall, let me put it that way.
Yes, the Eastern Cape, the interior parts of the Eastern Cape had very good rainfall. And then, of course, there was that disastrous floods now recently over along the coastal adjacent interior areas of the eastern parts of the Eastern Cape. So the parts that are really still in need of rainfall is located over the southwestern, especially southwestern interior regions of the Eastern Cape, but also along the coast over those areas. So I think for Gqeberha, the water scarcity is really concern.
A huge problem.
Still a huge, huge problem. I mean, after some good rainfalls, also during the summer season, well, not extremely good, but after some rainfall, good relative to previous years, the Kuga Dam reached a storage capacity of about 22 or 23%, but now it's again 12 point something percent. So, yeah, so that remains a critical area in terms of the scarcity of rainfall and water availability.
Sure.
Just needed by the industry, agricultural sector, as well as to just our people like us.
Yeah.
So that is still something to keep in mind.
In mind, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. No, Doc, thank you so much for your time. We really, really appreciate it. And thank you for always being available whenever we need your expertise. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure is mine, Stephen.
Thank you, Doc. Folks, that was our discussion with Dr. Christine Engelbrecht, a long-term forecaster at the South African Weather Service. She was here to just help us unpack some of the most difficult, issues pertaining weather. We've been experiencing quite a lot of rainfall in recent weeks, recent days. And also, we need to be on the lookout also for, the tropical cyclone Freddy, the possibility of it reaching us, still remains there. And people all over the escarpment, the northeastern parts of the country need to really be on the lookout. But like Doc said, just also, keep yourself up to date, go to the South African Weather Service, follow their social media pages, as they are also monitoring that particular situation around Freddy. And, if in case anything happens, whether a warning needs to be issued or an alert, they will do so closer to the time. But thank you so much, Doc, once again for coming through. Folks, this has been another edition of the Citizen Talk. We're back again next week for another edition right here. So thank you so much for listening and for being in touch with us. Thank you so much. Till we meet again, you take good care of yourselves. Bye.